Life sometimes can cause some complications and some interruptions into the things that are truly important. And, you know, they seem like they're great. You're having a lot of fun. But they can get in the way of things occasionally, things that are truly important. Pastor Brian Bill is with us this morning. Good morning to you, brother. How are you?
Good morning, team. I'm well. Thank you.
It's awesome always to have you stop by and share with us your insight.
I love how you guys have pastors on here. Doug Rowland last week?
Yes.
And
yes.
Listened to that.
Yeah.
I often don't listen live, but I can listen to it later because you post it. And so good job.
Mm-hmm. Just one of the many reasons why you need the Moody Radio app.
Mm-hmm. You know, there you go.
Just throw that commercial in there. what's on your heart this morning, man?
Well, actually, I'm kind of speaking on behalf of pastors. Mm-hmm. I'm deeply troubled about how many families are elevating other activities over the importance of gathering with God's people for weekly worship.
Yeah.
And I've served as a pastor for over 30 years, and I've watched countless families that at one time were faithful in their commitment to Christ and His church get so involved in traveling sports leagues, Sunday morning ball games, other weekend activities, that they're now unplugged and untethered from church.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I read a satirical article from the Babylon Bee, and it had this tongue-in-cheek title: "After 12 years of quarterly church attendance, parents shocked by daughter's lack of faith." Here are a few excerpts. Trevor Michelson was simply stunned. "I just don't understand it. Almost every single time there was a rained-out game or a break between school and club team seasons, we had Janie in church. It was at least once per quarter. It was obviously a priority in our family. I just don't get where her spiritual apathy is coming from. The more I think about it, the more this illustrates how the church just keeps failing this generation," lamented Trevor. Trevor and his wife planned to have a chat with the pastor of their church after their younger son Robert's soccer season calms down a bit. That's funny, but it's not so funny. So parents, please lean in and listen. "I know you don't want to teach your kids that playing sports is more important than praising God and hearing the preaching of His word. Let me be quick to add, other activities like camping, fishing, yard work can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Let me also say that these are not necessarily bad things in and of themselves. I'm just concerned that these activities can turn into idols when they replace that which is of ultimate and supreme importance. An article called When Ball Becomes Baal argues that we have deified sports in our society. Baal was the supreme god of Canaan and Phoenicia, whose worship infiltrated Jewish religious life during the Judges and became popular in Israel during Ahab's reign. The word Baal, well, it means Lord. He was a false god who demanded total submission and loyalty. And, sadly, appeasing Baal often involved human sacrifice." Mm. I've always found it fascinating that the book of 1 John ends the way it does. It's kind of abrupt. You almost don't see it coming. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Isn't idol worship something only the people in the Old Testament struggled with? Well, John uses his favorite term of endearment. Look first, he calls them dear children. Mm-hmm. And would you note whose responsibility it is to avoid idols? We must keep ourselves from them. The word keep means to watch, be on guard, avoid. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says that we're to flee from idolatry. Now, when most of us think of idols, we think of images made out of wood or stone or clay. Our minds may go back to the problems idols caused in the Old Testament when God's people were judged and exiled. Why were they exiled? Because of their devotion to these false gods. God was upfront about how His people were to worship Him and Him alone. Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, 3 and 4. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." Now, unfortunately, even exile did not excise idol worship from God's people. Ezekiel 14:7 says that one does not need a statue to worship. Why? Well, because the adoration of idols is actually a heart issue. When any Israelite or any alien living in Israel separates himself from me and sets up, listen, idols in his heart. Ezekiel 20:16 says, for their hearts were devoted to their idols. The worship of anything other than God causes spiritual separation, not just during Old Testament times, but in hearts everywhere today. Today's idols are more in self than up on a shelf. One author writes this, what is an idol? It is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give. An idol is whatever you look at and say in your heart of hearts, if I have that, then I'll feel my life has meaning. Then I'll know I'll have value and I'll feel significant and secure. So understanding contemporary idols can help us see why they prove to be such a powerful temptation. An idol can be anything we place ahead of God in our lives. Anything that takes God's place in our hearts. Could be our possessions, our careers, relationships, hobbies, sports, entertainment, goals, greed. An addiction to alcohol, drugs, gambling, pornography, social media, or even our phones can become idol worship. It was John Calvin who said, the human heart is an idol factory. Mm. Unfortunately, God is often shoved out of the way as we zealously pursue our idols. Worse yet, the significant amount of time we often spend in these idolatrous pursuits leaves us with little or no time to spend with the Lord. It was John Piper who said, one of the greatest uses of Twitter, it's now called X, and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. And all God's people said, ouch. Mm-hmm. Baal can become Baal when it controls your family and you give it devoted worship. Now, I'm encouraged. 1 Samuel 7, verse 4. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and they served the Lord only. So let's do the same today. Let me share two practical ways to put sports in their proper place. Number one, families, do this when your kids are young. Decide beforehand that there'll be no contest between the church's essential activities designed for your family's spiritual growth and what the team plans for your lives. This decision has to be made ahead of time so that when sports activities conflict with weekend worship or youth camp or a special spiritual activity, the decision has already been made. And number two, determine that your child cannot play every sport. Be selective in order to protect the rhythm of your family time. I like how the article ends. God himself uses sports language in the New Testament. He's not against it unless it steals the devotion belonging to him. All other gods have to go. It might be good to watch Chariots of Fire as a family to see how Olympic athlete Eric Liddell lived out his conviction to not participate in sports on Sunday. Here's my heart. I don't know if this could happen, but I can wish it. I wish that parents from all the churches in the Quad Cities with children that play sports on Sunday mornings, if all the parents would get together and say, not anymore. We're not going to allow this any longer. Not on our watch. Sunday is the Son's Day, and we're going to gather for worship in church as a family. If parents who are believers banded together, these leagues would find another day to play. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah gave a challenge to the people. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Have you made Baal your Baal? It's time to stop limping between two opinions. What's your answer?
Mm. That's a good devotional for all of us. Are we all in?
Yeah.
Or are we just on some sort of precipice?
Yeah.
Kind of leaning wherever the wind blows.
And so many things could become our idol.
Yeah. Yes.
So many things.
And particularly with weekend travel ball, most like Christian parents, they don't want to see their kids disengage from church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It generally starts off with, my child was asked to be on a team.
Right.
Right? There's an honor there.
Right. Yeah.
And sports teaches confidence and teamwork. There's a discipline, all of that. But I just have images in my mind of this eager-minded, like, kid in Awana who's memorizing verses, loves coming to church, and then they join a team, and then we might see them once a quarter, and they come back, and you can tell they're not listening anymore.
Right.
Because now sports has become everything, and church then is boring to them.
Or an interruption.
It's an interruption, like, oh, I'd rather be with my friends because we're in Iowa City doing this fun weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And again, nothing wrong with that. I just wish that was on a Saturday.
Right.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Excellent. I mean, we miss out so much, and we lack perspectives of looking ahead. At least when I was a young parent, I lacked the perspective of looking ahead 20 years down the road.
Right.
And what is the most important thing 20 years down the road?
Yes.
Because most likely your kids that you think, I mean, they may have talent, they may be very talented, but most likely 20 years down the line, they're probably not going to be playing sports.
Yeah,
unless it's just for fun.
Yeah, one of the points I made in the message just last weekend in Ephesians 6, the goal of parenting is to train young disciples, right?
Yeah.
And so it's parents, filter everything through that. How is this helping me, Deuteronomy 6, train and equip the young disciples who are in my home?
Right.
And maybe they're not disciples yet. Maybe they're not saved. So it's evangelism and discipleship in our home, and we should evaluate everything in light of that primary purpose.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
That's really good.
Had that wonderful conversation with my daughter. I'm not your friend. I am not your enabler. I am your parent, and my job is to raise you so that you have the appropriate tools you need for life.
There you go.
And that sometimes can be quite difficult. Mm-hmm. It really can be. Pastor, thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure.